Welcome to Dakota Midday Tech Radio for the 25th of April. Our phone number is 800-524-3604. You can drop us an email. Send it to midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. Today's panelists, Mac Guru, Joel Brovelite, and you're a Mac expert today, right?
It's got like an old school button. What old is that from?
Apple expert.
Apple expert.
I just dig it that out of the drawer or what?
Kind of, yeah. It was in a box, and I'm like, look, I still have this.
You're a designer. What year is that button from? Can you guess?
This is from the I can tell you precisely when. This is when the
third
generation
ones?
Of the iMacs came out.
Is that the colored egg-shaped
iMac
ones?
DV, iMac DV Plus. The ones that were...
What do they look like? I don't know the
They
names.
Were very gem-colored, like translucent blue.
Oh,
and
that teal.
Red.
Yep.
No. That were the two generations after that.
Okay, we had those at school, I remember.
They were more bubble-like, you know? They were slightly rounder and fatter.
Like the Pacer of computers.
And they had gem colors, you know?
It's like the way my dad looks at like old cars. He can say, you know, the old cars were more different from year to year. He can be like, oh, that's a 1957 Chevy. And Matt and Joel could probably do that with Max.
I'm sure you can. John T. Meyer is the one conversing about the pin this morning.
You bet.
How are things, John T.?
Doing well. Happy to be here today.
Great. Jeff Litterick joins us as well from on the phone from Peer. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, all.
A lot of things to talk about on today's show. We're going to get started in just a second. We're going to remind you that the list of links that we talk about on the show, we post those to facebook.com/techradio. So please go there if you'd like and like us. We would like you to do that. And also, this is your chance to call for help on SDPB Radio. 1-800-524-3604, the phone number. 368-1677 is the number to text if you'd care to. And our email address, of course, is midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. Well, guys, we're going to start the show with a question from a listener, Nick. And Nick has been a caller and a writer to the show in the past. And he has a question about finding IT employment around Sioux Falls. And we'll just kind of, bring the envelope a little bigger than that because we're in Sioux Falls right now, but the show goes everywhere in South Dakota. So let's just talk about in general, finding tech jobs in the area or in the region or so. He says, hey, Tech Radio guys, I got laid off recently and I'm trying to find IT work in or around Sioux Falls. My recent job of 3.5 years was originally supposed to be desktop and laptop technician. But it sort of changed after a while to doing that, but a lot of other things as well. So he's had plenty of IT support skill. His professional experience isn't as current as he thinks would be ideal. But where would you suggest in looking for an entry-level or slightly above job in the area in either hands-on support role, documentation writing, or something similar? Where should I even look?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Nick. And he seems very qualified. He says in this email he's even got a law degree, so that's my pitch for Nick. But I think it's actually an issue that exists right now in tech companies because there are needs, from what I know, from not just like the agencies in the creative world, but also in the IT. He mentions companies like the usuals, the Dectronics, the Ravens, the Sanfords, the Veras.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a needed skill. So I think there needs to be more of a place where people can find each other. I would recommend getting your name out there. LinkedIn. I know some people like, I don't get LinkedIn. Isn't it just Facebook for business? Well, yeah, probably, but you're not going to find, you most likely won't find your job on Facebook. I highly recommend getting involved in LinkedIn. Get on there, fill out your profile. The nice thing about LinkedIn, it's not like a blog where you have to keep it updated. You update your resume and you're good to go.
It's funny, your description of LinkedIn. Isn't it just Facebook for business? Yes, that is the reason you
it
need
is.
To be on it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. You answered your own question there, sir.
You can upgrade to LinkedIn Premium, which is about, I think, $30 a month. And what that allows you to do is send what's called InMail. InMail means if you're not connected to that person, you can still send them a message. So, I mean, what I love about LinkedIn is you can go right to the top. You don't have to just call that business you maybe want to work at and get kind of put through the runaround through HR. I'm not saying you're going to get a response from the CEO, but if you're in IT, go find the IT director from the company you want to work with and send them a message on LinkedIn or connect.
Well, in the process of signing up and finding and linking to your previous employers and people you've worked with, you might run across somebody that is looking for someone, and they already know you because there's a verification process in this.
Yep.
You say, I know this person. Well, how do you know them? You know, what qualifications, and can you verify that this person did this? And there's steps built in there. There's professional things, I guess, that aren't a part of Facebook if we were doing a comparison.
Yep.
There isn't that.
You can ask for recommendations for people, past employers, people you've worked with side projects on. And I think this is just in general, not even a technology play, but like, I think you just need to, I believe in the old school route too, like just get your name out there, you know, start writing a blog post, like meet people that's not old school, but for coffee, like go out and tell people, just let people know your name and you're out there and you're looking.
Yeah, and because to that, I would definitely recommend, you know, exactly what you're saying, but don't just meet with people and get coffee. You're in the absolute best business to do what I'm going to recommend here and start freelancing. Don't start freelancing in a month. Start freelancing tomorrow. Go get yourself, print some business cards up, do the free ones, whatever you need to, print them out at home, get your name out and start dropping by small businesses that maybe don't have an IT consultant and say, hey, if you ever need help with this, these are my credentials. These are people that know what I do. And through that, you will meet people who say, hey, you know, this guy was really great and he helped us out. And that's a great way to get hired on full time somewhere. It's to just start doing whatever work you can. And if you can't get hired, offer to do some for free for the right kind of businesses. Sure. Or people.
In every community, I think there are kind of like hyper-connected people, especially in this social media world we live in. So those are good people to reach out to because then they know, you know, they might not be the person who's going to hire you. So I will even say, Nick, go ahead.
Their networks are amazing.
And email me. Email me, john@lemonly.com, and I will learn more about what you're looking for and try to put you in touch with somebody.
Yeah, and also getting back to the social networking thing. If you're signed up for Facebook and if you're already signed up for other ones, make sure you cultivate your online presence. Don't just have pictures of your kids. And certainly if you're signed up and you're looking for a job, anything like that, make sure you present yourself online the way you want to be seen by somebody that's going to hire
you.
Because, you know, I just heard a statistic. I don't know the exact number, but over 50% of people will check your social networking credentials and your profile before you get hired. So just expect.
It's more than that.
Yeah, we do that. We Google you for sure.
And also, if you don't have one, then you absolutely must, you know, and get it going and get it presentable and maybe pull off those spring break pictures.
I see a couple of things in here. Yeah. Well, what you put on the internet, you can never really get back, can you?
Yeah, but at least you're showing an effort.
Yes,
like I may have had that before, but now I want to get high.
Well, and
you know,
Joel's exactly right. Like it's more about what have you done than showing here was my GPA and here was my degree and then I have this GPA, you know, I have this minor, you know, show me what you've done lately. I built my own website, or I did IT for a small business. I went in and secured their network, or,
you know, that's also a really good deal. Maybe
work with
maybe
a nonprofit,
maybe you've always wanted to write an app for the iPhone. Well, write an app for the iPhone, even if it's terrible, and you give it away for free and one person downloads it. You can put that on your list.
If you can write an app for an iPhone, you'll have a job in a couple of weeks.
Well, even if it's terrible, I'm saying, you know, well, what did you do in the past month? Well, I taught myself to program for the iPhone.
Exactly.
And bam, you're going to get hired. So, you know, expand your horizons and start working tomorrow.
And here's my other comment. I picked a couple of things out here. One, I don't know a whole lot of people in tech in South Dakota. I know some, but I know a couple of people that are documentation writers. One lives in Western South Dakota. One person actually lives in the Netherlands, but she can work from anywhere.
True.
And it doesn't have to be Sioux Falls. It can be. You can live in Sioux Falls and you can work virtually anywhere in doing that. And I know there's a demand for folks that can write technical documentation for things.
Yeah.
They get shipped a product. They get, you know, they get what they think is going to be a product manual, but, you know, can actually make it into English and make it so that people can use it and configure it and do whatever with it. And so I know there are jobs like that. So don't downplay your writing skills. I see you can write. That's a skill that not a whole lot of people can do or have patience for.
Yes, he did, in fact, send us an entire paragraph, which shows that
punctuation.
More than 100.
No, I mean that in a positive way. I mean, clearly he has writing skills because it wasn't just a short email like, I'm looking for a job. I mean, he clearly has
everything we described, you know, takes time, whether it be cultivating your social media profile or meeting people for coffee or lunch. So if, you know, if cash, if you need cash today too, I mean, there are websites like Elance.com, or you can go to Mechanical Turk, or
Mechanical
you can
Turk,
go to,
yeah, I was gonna say
you
that.
Can go to websites where you can start doing jobs for people, Craigslist, with your technical skills, even not, I'm not talking just mowing lawns, and making money today.
Mm-hmm. What about the obvious, the Monster and the Dice? Are those people use those a lot?
Well, I think you got to. I would start from the top, bottom, top down. I mean, I would start with my Facebook and my LinkedIn profile, and then maybe, you know, as the month goes on, maybe sign up for this site and do that site.
You're talking about Monster, like the job site.
Yeah, Monster, the job site, and Dice.
I would probably not focus.
I haven't heard of Dice.
I would probably not focus on those. I would probably do the most popular ones first. But, you know, again, I would really, the first thing I would do is do that networking and get and you know, make contacts with people that are working in your business. I honestly think in tech, certainly around here, that's your best bet.
I mean, the circles are small. They're smaller than you realize. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, Nick.
It's a good topic. Got a
yeah,
lot of
absolutely.
There,
we should, well, and there's a lot of new things out there with the internet, and there's a lot of new ways to do old things.
And well, I want that topic to not just be about Nick's search. Like, for anyone who's listening, there are great career opportunities, I think, in tech and in IT and in the creative world. And,
oh, without
and
question.
What's beautiful today is you don't have to necessarily go back to college. You can go online. There's, you know, you can learn to code at Code Academy, or you can sign up for Treehouse, which is like $25 a month.
Yeah, if you're in a job that, you know, say you work for a business where you do a lot of computer work, but that isn't your job title, but you're really good at it. Maybe you're the person in your office that everybody goes, hey, you know, my computer crashed. What am I supposed to do? That is just telling you that you need to up the ante, and you need to work in tech, and maybe you could build a few skills and write an app or get connected with the right person, and bam, you've got yourself a new career because it was something you already enjoyed. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are downplaying their technical and as you say, writing abilities that could maybe utilize more of their skill set. John's absolutely right about that.
She's got a tweet right now from at Carla White. She's a local entrepreneur. She makes iPhone apps, and she said, if you can write an app for the iPhone, you can get a job anywhere. She seconded that thought. So
right.
There we go. We already got people who agree.
Yeah. Well, send us a tweet. Let us know what you think. And Nick, good luck. It won't be long, and you'll have a new career. And keep listening to the show. We appreciate that.
We'll take 10% commission. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it just was pledge week at public radio, but we're not going to go there. So anyway, remind our listeners, if you joined us late, an MP3 version of the show, we'll post that to the web soon. Hit the website, sdpb.org, click on the listen thing. If you haven't been in there in a while, it'd be a good idea to go and check out some of the amazing award-winning, Murrow Award-winning stories that our news staff post every day of the week. We just won six of the 9 Murrow Awards for small radio in the region that were awarded. So those guys are amazing. Check out the website, sdpb.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a lot of things to talk about, or we've got a lot of things we can talk about. We've got some Google Plus things, FCC and net neutrality. Aero, have you heard of this, Joel, the little tiny antennas?
We talked about it last January or February, actually.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it again because they're in the Supreme Court right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the Supreme Court is kind of going,
I think that's a complete mischaracterization, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, Nike fired most of its fuel band people, so we're going to talk about wearable tech again because we talk about that quite often because it's an interesting thing. But we've got to take care of some business right now. We'll be back right after this. And we're back at the lovely University of Sioux Falls campus here in Sioux Falls, and it's a beautiful day out there, and it's a beautiful day to be on the radio.
Kind of get the feel. You can tell the semester is getting towards the end. That seems like the students are a little restless. You know, probably finals are coming up. I'm not sure, but
you know, I was going to throw this in as a topic if we needed a little fill at the very end. But let's talk about that real quick. We have graduations coming up for some high schoolers. I have one myself, and there was a Ball State study that came out yesterday about
a high school, not a graduation.
Yeah,
yeah. Who is graduating?
Yes,
yes,
my son.
It's like you went back to school. I thought maybe.
No, I have an 18-year-old.
It's never too late.
Yeah, well, it is. And so here's this headline sort of came across my inbox yesterday, and it caught my eye. It said, college students not embracing tablets as originally predicted. And let that sink in for a second. What the Ball State study is saying is that their smartphones, they're embracing that at a higher rate than they are. The tablet adoption has gone down in the last year. This is a very limited study to just college students.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Because the people of...
That means only something...
Your age and mine.
However, I mean, I think that's... That seems logical. You have your smartphone with you at all times. So saying, well, do I really need a tablet? I guess I'm just going to go. I take it on my phone. Blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, if you're looking to cut corners as a college student, you know, maybe that's one way you do it. I don't think that says much overall for the tablet market at this point. It just means that maybe that's just efficient for college students, certainly college students at Ball State. So I don't know that that means a lot for the market, frankly.
Yeah, it's mainly an entertainment thing.
Certainly.
A college student isn't going to use one to write a paper, certainly. Maybe a laptop or a...
They might. I don't know why you would. Keyboard accessories
and things like that. I mean, I think we can agree that computer, laptop, or desktop use is going down, and it's being filled by, you know, phone and tablet.
Yeah, mobile devices.
That we know.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I would love to have if any college students are listening, which... Who knows? Hopefully they're in class or something. But
why are you listening, college students? Get to work.
I want to know if you're writing papers on tablets these days. That's an interesting question.
We should just go hook a couple of students in.
Just open that window and shout out.
Open that window right out there.
Yeah, hey. we could just look out in the lounge and count.
But honestly, I thought, you know, what a great – I was thinking a month ago, what a great – I'm trying to think, what am I going to get my kid for graduation? I'll get him a mini.
An iPad mini.
Okay.
Because I just bought one, raffling it, you know, at a fraternal organization that I'm involved
with. Yeah, they're great. I got one right here.
So I'm thinking I'll just grab two, and I got my graduation gift out of the way. Well, you know, this whole thing
Hopefully your kid's not listening.
Is wondering, is that a great idea, or is the money better invested in something else for him?
I don't know why. If you're saying, you know, should I get a tablet? Or nothing, that might be a question. But should I get a tablet, or if you're saying, or a computer, I think that's a no-brainer. You get a tablet, you don't get a computer.
Really?
I don't know. I'm trying to decide. Like, what I think was so interesting about college and technology, like, so my siblings and I were all 3 years apart. When my sister went to college in 98, it was like, some people have computers, but most people go to the computer lab.
Yep.
So my brother goes 3 years later. Almost everyone has desktops, but like one person had a laptop, and that was a big deal. When I went 3 years later, everyone had laptops, and then probably my younger brother, or almost, we'll say 80%, and then I bet 3 years later when my youngest brother went, everyone had laptops. You know, they always promoting their computer labs, and then they were empty because everyone already had their own computer.
Completely.
But I do see, I know a lot of people use tablets in the classroom, like for note-taking, recording audio.
What I should say is I'm not saying that a college student wouldn't use a laptop or a desktop computer. What I'm saying is if you don't know exactly how they're going to use something, a tablet is going to get used. It doesn't matter what they're going to school for. Design, computers, wildlife, fisheries management, they're going to use a tablet. They may not use a desktop because they might be they might need a really great one. They might need something that's more portable. And I'm not saying that you don't know what your son's going to use, but I don't know if he knows his major.
If he knew his major, that would help.
If they're mutually exclusive, I think I'd rather have an iPad 3.
I would, like
a MacBook going to college.
And then I'd want the cash left over.
That's the really thin one.
Exactly, that's part of it, too.
Is that the Air or whatever? Is that the really thin one?
That's just the newest iPad.
Yeah, the newest one, yeah.
It is thin, yes. Yeah. Or is it called iPad?
iPad Air.
iPad
yeah,
Air, sorry.
Yeah, iPad Air, yeah.
Is that iPad 4, I guess I should say.
It is the fourth generation.
I shouldn't call it 3.
That's okay.
But yeah, if you're my dad and you give me one choice or the other, I think I would choose that. And then, like Joel said, ask for the cash difference.
Well, if you
so
have
I can buy apps and
you have an iPad,
download,
you have an
sign
iPad
up for Netflix.
Air and a keyboard, there's very little that you will not be able to do, as far as a college career. iPad and a keyboard.
Yeah.
And then you what? How do you print it? Do you make a PDF and email it to yourself and
print
somewhere?
You hit print.
Print?
And then it goes to the printer.
Okay.
Print?
It's 2014, Kent.
All right.
I think most professors even have you upload your papers to
absolutely, yeah. I mean, how much paper is.
I got to tell you, that is a. I've been listening to my boss, who's adjuncting a class at USD. It's amazing, the online course that he's teaching right now, as far as if the all the exams and everything are preloaded. They can take the exam if they want to redo it. It mixes the questions up, and or tells them where they need to emphasize in the book. It's tech has come a long way in ed, and we could do a whole show on that.
We could,
but
and there's probably some people smarter than us that we should bring in to talk about some of those things. But
blows me away that he can do his lecture on Monday nights, and people can tune in live on the web, or he hits the stop button and it saves it, and they can watch it later. Kind of an amazing thing, but. That this is a good discussion, because we'll probably have this leading up to August and the start of the semester about what to get your kid for college, and we've talked about that for years, and now I've got one going to college again.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll bookmark that and bring that back around.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for getting us off on that tangent. That was
seven for one Apple stock split that yesterday they announced. I just wanted to say
seven
that.
For one.
Yeah, you heard me right.
Wow,
7 for 1 coming. I think August is when they're going to do it. So if you own 10 shares of Apple, you will then own 70 shares of Apple.
But wasn't a share of Apple like $7,500 or something?
It was. I think it topped as near 600 yesterday.
I'm an investing neophyte, but I always thought splits were like 2 to 1. I didn't know they would split 7.
Well, they almost always are. You're absolutely right. I don't know how unusual it is, but it's certainly unusual for tech companies and a company like Apple. Apple's stock has split a couple of times in the past 20 years. I know Microsoft's stock has split several times. I don't know that it's ever split 7 for 1. Somebody out there probably could tell us, like Google.
Let me ask you this in regards to Apple stock. I've heard investment gurus are saying they're sitting on so much cash.
Which is one of the reasons they also announced with it a buyback of their own stock. So they're going to purchase, they're going to use some of their cash
to
purchase
back
their
more
own
of the
stocks
company?
Back.
Okay.
But the other thing this allows you to do is, of course, when you split a stock 7 for 1, that means that the price gets split by 7 as well. So it makes
exactly.
it accessible to
not just multiplying your stock by 7.
Exactly.
But question is, I've heard rumors that, some investor gurus say that they should spend some of that cash and possibly acquire a company. I've heard from
and which they've done
T-Mobile rumors to what was the other one? Tesla. I've heard.
Well, Apple buys probably a company a month without question. It's just
little blips on the radar.
They don't do the Facebook thing where they dump
30
an entire year's
in
worth
a month.
Of they're not in that game, at least not yet, but I think that's certainly one of the things they're doing, and I think they know that they're sitting on more cash than the shareholders really like, so the stock buyback and the split I think has quelled the desire for them to do something with the money. People get scared when there's money sitting in a bank, especially when you have more money in a bank than every other company in the world and most countries except for the top five.
You mentioned Tesla. Didn't the feds just okay direct sales to customers from the company? Because that was tied up in court for a while, right?
I don't know if that's
out of New Jersey.
Decided.
I
checked.
Yeah, I know that they're battling that kind of state by state law. I know Joel's going to Google that, but having some issues.
I think
but
that just came out today.
Yeah. I think some of them.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, the FTC just came out in favor of Tesla and direct sales in some states. Some states don't allow direct sales. Some do. It's still ongoing, but the FTC has kind of joined in and weighed in on their favor, the Federal Trade Commission.
I would love to see, to our West River listeners, apparently there, I believe it's already up, but there's a Tesla charging station in Rapid City. Because that's like that's the only place you can go right now, other than your home, obviously, to charge your Tesla. So I'd love to see a picture of that.
Yeah, it's up because there's some people that have been driving as promos, driving coast to coast. And the only way to get through the central part of the United States just using the supercharging stations is through South Dakota at this point. So if you drive east to coast with a Tesla and you only want to use the supercharging stations because they're free, you have to hit I-90 and come through South Dakota.
Well, there you go.
Amazing deal. Speaking of court, Jeff, the FCC and net neutrality. Do we have some? We have some news on that.
Yeah. Well, if you remember back, there was a big court case the FCC lost about their formal rules on net neutrality governing different ISPs like Comcast and AT&T and Verizon, and even ones smaller players. They lost the battle that said that that basically their old rules were unenforceable. So they're coming up with a set of new rules, trying to redefine net neutrality in a way that might work and might survive a court case. The problem everyone's having is some of the rules are starting to leak out. They're being announced actually officially, I think, today. But they basically kind of gutted net neutrality. While they say net neutrality is very important, they turn around and say, yeah, but you can ISPs can charge extra for faster access to their customers to whoever they want, which basically makes a two-tier type of system of the Internet. And this is more for not the end user, though it impacts the end user, but for the big content providers. One is the Internet you have today. Everything is best effort. If it gets there, it gets there. And your traffic is no better than anybody else's. To a system where Netflix can pay, and their video will always be faster than everybody else's. You always get better performance and better quality than you will from somebody else. The problem it comes for most people view is the Googles and Netflix of the world can afford this. The new startup companies can't, and they will be disadvantaged because their services will not work as good as the big guys who can pay for that money. So the SEC said they put some protections in, but the terms are so vague that it's unenforceable. So at this point, without them making more changes.
We should clarify that this is a proposal, and it's not actually on the agenda till May 15th when the FCC is going to have their meeting, and there will be – and I don't know if it will be decided then, but it's on their May 15th agenda. So this isn't a law or a rule yet.
This will start a rulemaking
process. Yeah, you'll be hearing much more about this.
Yes.
Where the public input will be appreciated, and you probably see a lot of advertising on both sides for comments into the new rulemaking.
Yes, if you watch TV or you use the Internet, if you're out there, or you listen to the radio, then this is something of interest to you.
So unless you're in a cave.
So, yes. If you can hear this, this is of interest to you.
What is go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, if you play games, this is interest to you. All games now pretty much require Internet access and will be impacted by different qualities of Internet service. So just about anything you do that involves technology, your Nest thermostat, everything, is impacted in some way by this.
Well, we're going to get to Nest in a minute. Believe me, we're going to get to Nest. But let's stay in court as long as the court's in session. An article today, and people sitting in this room have read this article differently. But it's talking about the Supreme Court hearing a challenge on a company's right to stream network television broadcasts to paying customers, and that's the Aereo, I believe it's
Aereo
is how it's pronounced. Thank you. I have a mispronunciation problem. But it's a streaming video company out of Boston that it's in different large cities
about 14 different markets.
14 different markets. And their little take on things is when you sign up, you actually get a tiny little antenna.
Yeah, so what you do is if you sign up for service through Aereo, you get to watch TV, all the major broadcast channels, so the top four, Fox, CBS, NBC and ABC, as well as anything, you know, public access, public television, anything that's broadcast in a market that you could get using an antenna. And they have a couple of different tiers. It's about $8 to $12 a month. And you can save space to DVR these programs. You could, mm-hmm. just like you use your DVR, except for you use your computer to set it up, you'll say, I want to watch every episode of True Blood, or I want to watch every American Idol episode, or I want to start at this time and end at this time. And it caches that for you, and you get to watch it. the rub, as you talk about the trick, which they say is not a trick at all, is that at their locations on these building tops all over New York and all over these cities, they have a separate antenna that's the size of a dime for every subscriber. So if John subscribes to Aereo, he has his own little dime-sized antenna that sits on the top of a building and supposedly gives him the service. It doesn't actually, of course, do that, but, you know, saliently, it does do the exact same thing John could do with an antenna and a computer setup, but it makes it super easy for him, so he could watch on his telephone on the subway, and he's completely legal. Now, this is a great service for anybody that does that because you get, you know, 80% of what people watch are network and broadcast. So you can watch that. You can record the Twins game, and you do all this completely legal, $8 to $12 a month. How could you go wrong except for if you're a broadcaster?
Right, right. That's the there is the rub again. It's about the Benjamins. And so what they're saying is the broadcasters, the ones you just mentioned, are all accusing this company of blatant theft because cable companies are doing kind of the same thing.
It's similar.
But they pay billions of dollars rights to do that.
One of the differences is the cable suppliers do not take a broadcast signal and then send it out. They get a direct feed from these companies, you know, NBC, ABC. They get a direct feed. They get, you know, HD. It's not a broadcast. And so the deal is, of course, Aereo's right. They're doing what anybody could do on their own, and they're just charging a convenience fee to so that you don't have to do a setup. So what the Supreme Court is hearing right now is, you know, is this legal? Can Aereo do this? And it has immense implications one way or the other. If they say they can't do it, I honestly don't know how they're going to make that argument other than to say, well, it smells wrong, so you can't do it, or you're using a trick. That would be the only way I could see it. But if they say it's legal, which, of course, they won't decide any of this until probably in the middle part of summer. They just heard all last week, they heard testimony on it and arguments. They haven't decided anything. But if they do decide that it's legal, you know, the cable company could decide to do the same thing depending on how the ruling goes. So it's another very big deal if you watch TV.
If you watch TV, this is actually a huge deal.
If you have ever watched TV or ever plan to in the future.
And think that the internet can be slightly convenient for you.
Yeah.
Even
if you don't watch the internet, this could have big implications because one of the things that Fox and I think ABC have mentioned, ABC is actually the plaintiff in the
big
argument.
Dog and everybody else can call it.
I think it's ABC is the one that's the actual plaintiff. Mm-hmm. But Fox has said that if Aereo is allowed to do it, they're going to stop broadcasting over the air HD. They're just going to stop doing it. Which
means they have to stop broadcasting.
No, it means that they'll have to be a cable channel like, say, the Food Network. You'll only be able to get it through a cable subscribing service. So I don't know whether they're able to. No, that's what they've said they're going to do.
That's the likelihood of that. But yeah, okay.
Well, that's right. What they said they're going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
And I guess I
certainly
take
cut out a lot
work.
Of costs for them and retransmission.
For sure.
I mean,
I could see why they'd want to do that. But I mean, I think for a company like Fox, you know, if they're going to lose all those subscribers, then making it themselves a pay-only cable channel may be their only choice. So again, even if you never use a computer, this has huge implications for you.
Hmm. Well, here's one quote, and I'll just let things lie if this is the point of the discussion we're at. But Justice Roberts says there is no technical, and I'll quote here, there's no technological reason for you to have 10,000 dime-size antennas other than to get around the copyright laws.
Oh, yeah, and that's absolutely true. I think we even mentioned that there. What I want to clarify in the article that we're talking from the Boston Herald, is that correct?
Boston Globe,
sorry. Yes. You know, they slant the article saying that the Supreme Court is very skeptical of Aereo. Really, they're just asking questions so they can kind of get the meat of the matter, and then in closed session, they argue amongst themselves. If they don't ask those questions, they don't get the answers, and then, of course, they can't deliberate. This happens every time there's an, you know, there are they hear testimony at Supreme Court, they have to ask tough questions, and sometimes they sound nasty, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything for the outcome. We won't know that for probably a couple of months yet, although it's going to be big news when it does come.
Yeah, it's you got a fledgling tech company trying to do something innovative. And unfortunately, you've riled up a bunch of people with a lot of money.
You know, and related to the previous discussion when we were talking about not television, but the FCC's proposal, one thing different there is you could contact your congressman and say, hey, this is my opinion about that, and that will have an effect. Nobody can contact the Supreme Court justice and say, hey, you got to let Aereo do this, or hey, you can't. So one's up to the court, and one's kind of more up to legislation and subject to from the Obama administration. So two very different possible outcomes, but both very important, probably some of the most important stuff we'll see this year related to tech.
Sure. Great discussion. We need to take another quick break, take care of some business. When we come back, we're going to talk about Google again and some things related to Nest, a company that we talk about all the time on the show. We'll talk about that right after this. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio. Winding April down here, getting set for May, which is, of course, high school and college graduation. And did you just make a field trip there?
I did. I went and got a coffee, and in that amount of time, I questioned 12 people.
No.
I am not kidding. I asked everybody. I yelled it out in the room. I said, has anybody here ever written a paper on a tablet? And no one had.
Really?
That doesn't surprise me.
So in that completely non-scientific interview that we just
I've only had one tweet. I tweeted that question out that we've been having this debate on Tech Radio. If you were to go into college today, would you want a laptop or a tablet? And one person at Mr_Pepper said laptop, but barely. So yeah. It is a close decision.
Yeah.
But
I still stand by our assessment. If I didn't know what I was going to school for, I would much rather, you know, certainly if I was buying for somebody that wasn't me, I would buy a tablet because I know that that would get use. Now, whether they would write it on a paper or not, write a paper on it, or would ever need a computer, that might be something else.
Sure. So tweet at SDPB if you'd like to answer that question, or if you've got John T. and who wouldn't be socially
Absolutely.
Media out there, let him know, and we'll get it on the show today. John T. Meyer does join us today. Joel Brovelite, our resident Matt guru, is here, and Jeff Litterick, our I don't know how to describe Jeff. He's sort of an all-being.
He's our resident guru.
He's our resident guru on all things security, gaming, whatever it is. It's hard to stump Jeff.
Peer? Can we give him trivia about peer? Like stump
board games?
Yeah, something. I think Jeff does it all. But so we've got a panel of experts here. If you have questions, midday@sdpb.org is the email address. We have an 800 number. It is 800-524-3604. You can text us. 3681NPR or 3681677. If you would rather text your question, it's probably going to be a brief one, and that's okay. Whatever you'd like, we're here for you today to take care of your questions. If you joined us late, we podcast this sdpb.org, and there's a variety of things you can
or if you want to send the link to Kent's son so we can ruin his graduation gift, that would be fun too.
I think it's pretty much in the air because I haven't bought it. I think I'm pretty much in the air right now about what we're going to do, but we'll see. He's been using an iPad. He's had a school issued iPad for the last year, and
that's why I said the answer that I did, because these students, even before college, they're becoming more familiar with tablets. I look at my niece, who's 2.5, and she can open an app, and she's got a book, and like she can read the Bible, and she can learn her alphabet. Like, and she's 2.5 on an iPad. That's why I think in time, that's going to be the answer.
Well, and like I said, I mean, there's no way it's not going to get used, whether you need something else to write a paper or not. I think that's just a tablet's going to be a slam dunk for usefulness at college. We could be wrong.
I was a little skeptical about the durability of these devices, and I was proven correct about a month ago. And apparently, he claims it was not his fault. It was a friend of his that dropped it or did whatever threw it against the wall. Whatever happened.
No, but, no one's ever said that.
But
and it's okay.
You know,
no shattered screen?
Completely destroyed.
Yes.
Oh.
And fortunately, there is insurance, and there are ways of taking care of that. But I was a little skeptical, but, you know, he uses it to access a lot of things, and from extracurricular activities like wrestling and football, which all have apps where you can go back and review your plays on the bus on the way home or amazing. Whatever.
New opinion via Twitter. This is at Andrew C. High. He said, a tablet for sure. In med school, it was so useful to have a touchscreen for notes and diagrams. Plus, it's less fragile, in my opinion.
Okay.
And easier to carry, especially if you're wearing a lab coat. Hey.
You know those backpacks, when you're talking about those science books and textbooks and all that stuff in your backpack, nowadays you can just download those on your iPad, have those notes.
Many of them are available as e-books, not all of them.
Or the professors will post their notes, so you can follow along.
So what form factor are you thinking then? Are you thinking the 7-inch or the full? On an iPad or on an Android device.
Yeah, he just said tablet in general. But
yeah, I would say if
you're talking about lab coats, that's
certainly if you're going to also have a computer, the smaller 7-inch, the iPad mini size, mm-hmm. I think is the better one to go with. If it's your sole device, I think I would definitely go with a full size one. I think that just makes sense if you've only got one device. But again. I go back to before the iPad mini was announced, I was like, I don't know if a lot of people want to use a smaller, iPad. And it just seems like, the iPad's so small, but I certainly prefer an iPad mini personally now than way before. The size is just perfect, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, we'll await more tweets and more thoughts from folks on that, but very interesting discussion today.
It is.
We want to talk a little bit about Google and a few other things, some wearable tech things, but we've talked about Nest quite a few times on the show.
Which is owned by Google now.
Which now
True.
Was bought for $300 and some million, wasn't it?
A bargain as far as I'm concerned.
No. It was, wasn't it like...
Yeah, it was like $2 billion.
$2 billion.
Oh, $2 billion. Okay.
Billies.
No.
With a B, not an M.
The billies.
I was, but it's still a bargain as far as I'm concerned. I think it's one of the hot, tech companies, startups that were out there.
A little bump in the road. They had their second, I think, Google waited to acquire them until they released their second product, the smoke detector, mm-hmm. to prove that they're, more than a one-trick pony. And okay. That did have a big national recall, I saw. Because I went and bought it at Home Depot after you gave that recommendation. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't opened it yet because we're moving next month. So I still have the receipt and I'm trying to decide if I should.
You know what? It's going to be a software update. We never really covered this. So Nest came out these smoke alarms. And
Nest Protect is
what it's called. So just a quick 1-2 on how it works. It's a smoke alarm. Works like a smoke alarm. And it also is a carbon monoxide detector. If you don't know what those are, then we can't help you.
Then you should have one.
But but the advantage is it's connected to your Wi-Fi. So if you can get a text or an email if there's something going on at home and you're not there, it will also notify you, hey, I'm running out of battery. You can do that. That's awesome. It talks rather than just makes a noise. So it can say, hey, there's smoke in the hallway. I don't know if you know that, but you may want to do something about it. And if maybe you have your phone with you out in the garage. And you can wave your hand to stop it from going off. That is the trick. That is where they ran into some trouble. It never actually happened in the field, but their technicians discovered that it was possible to for the alarm to be shut off accidentally through the wave to shut off feature. Never actually happened to anybody, but they did the smart thing, got ahead of it, and stopped production, disabled everybody's wave to shush on all of their Nest Protects, and did a
wirelessly
recall.
Software and update.
There was a software update. So honestly, it's still just as good or better than anything out there. It doesn't. It just doesn't now have this feature that nobody else.
That's
has
not like
anyway.
I should wait for a new hardware.
Absolutely,
version.
It's going to be a new software update. So if you have it out there, don't worry about it.
Is there a subscription fee to this?
My question.
There is not.
Okay. Because, the other side of the story, according to a few articles I've read, is that Google's actually getting paid upwards of $40 per customer from energy companies
to get data
about the energy use of customers.
Of course.
They're giving it away. I'm surprised they're even giving it away. I feel like the data is more important than the money.
Yeah, they're not giving it
they're
away.
They're not giving it away.
Google.
They're getting paid
Google
for it.
Yeah, but Google's giving that data to the energy companies.
For 40 bucks
for 40
a subscriber.
Bucks a subscriber.
Per
sure.
month.
They're selling it, in other words.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
But, of course, I'm sure what's happening is they're selling historical data. They probably could raise the price. Sure. They're probably not selling ongoing data or like you can have it forever. No, I think the data stream is so valuable for both of those
devices.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's
so before you hyperventilate and say, you know, this is horrible for privacy issues and things, which some people are doing.
Yeah. Well, then you shouldn't buy one.
Well, and Nest will tell you, you'll don't they say you make up the cost of the Nest in about 12 months, 13 months,
yep,
based on saving on
30% on average people save.
And what your data is doing is actually making it better for everybody else because the energy company understands better.
It is the best research possible. So I think if you're afraid of your data, yeah, just don't buy one. But don't get all up in arms about it because that is the best possible data to make all things better for energy efficiency with regards to a thermostat or safety with regards to a smoke alarm.
You want to talk about that tweet that just came in?
Oh, you want me to tackle that one? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We're jumping around here, but we still had another back on that laptop versus tablet in college. This is from Patrick Morrison, who appears to be a USD grad, law student at Kentucky. If students have one device, it should be a laptop. Can't imagine writing 25 pages/researching on my iPad for law school.
Yeah.
That's the kicker is those papers. I still think like you buy that $50 keyboard and I could knock out a paper on that thing.
Or if you really got desperate, you could borrow a roommate's I just think if I was on a serious budget, be like, okay, $800 laptop, $400 iPad, $400. You know, I mean, I think I'd probably go that direction if I was limited only to one device.
I was also one of those nerds who actually went to the library.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think
there's
opportunities. There's not a lot of opportunities, in my opinion, to get a tablet that you can, you know, maybe use while you're in a cramped bus on the way to a basketball game.
At Patrick's point is very relevant. So it's really
of course, yeah.
Yeah. Back to the Nest thing though. So Google is out finding people to write software or help with their products, and they're going to an unusual place, or maybe it's not even unusual, but
the rumor here on TechCrunch today was or was it a different site, but they Nike recently, wearable tech, and Nike's Fuel Band ceased production, but essentially fired a majority. They're trying to kind of PR spin it, but a majority of their Fuel Band team, which leads us to believe they're going to kind of move away or pause a little bit on the wearable tech space.
Are they just getting their collective whatever's handed into them from
the
other?
I'm seeing more Fitbits and Jawbone Ups as far. I'm a Fuel Band user as I say that, but I've seen more Fitbits and but also it makes me more wonder is maybe it's not as hot as we think is the wearable tech space. I don't know because
I think the fact that it's Nike that's making a tech product is probably more telling than the fact that maybe that product market. I mean,
and now there's rumors that maybe Apple will fill that void because I believe an Apple exec is on the Nike board. I couldn't name him.
I think it's the other way around.
Okay,
but there has been a long standing kind of buddy tie between Nike and Apple.
So anyway, point of the story.
Yeah,
Nest. You know, quality hardware engineers or any engineers are hard to find. So Nest has been seen trying to pick up in just a couple of days those Nike Fuel Band.
Now that I think about it, that could say more to what Apple might be releasing. Frankly,
Google getting those engineers.
No, if Nike is saying, hey, we can't be making these bands anymore because Apple's going to come up with this new thing, that might say more to that. Frankly.
Hey, great discussion today, guys. We'll continue that online if people want to do that. Facebook.com/TechRadio. Want to thank our panelists, Joel Brovelite. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nine Clouds and Lemon Lee John T. Meyer.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming today. And Jeff Litterick from BIT and Peer. Reminder to listeners again, if you'd like to subscribe to that podcast or listen to a previous show, sdpb.org, and then just click on listen. And join us next month. And stay tuned to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. NPR News is next. Followed by Science Friday. Good day, everybody. Have a great weekend.